How's everybody doing?
Good.
Is everybody here?
Live on tape at WGN TV Studios in Chicago.
I'm buying in.
I'm all buying in. Yeah, I'm all in. All in to the program. Yeah, next question.
Who is Marcus Leshka?
Les is more with him. We're going to put him in positions where he can be successful. Not a lot of thinking.
And Steve Lippold.
For the love of God, don't start Cam Newton over matchup.
Stupid!
The Fantasy Festivus.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what, he's always like a forgotten man.
A fantasy sports podcast for the rest of
us. Shut up.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Festivus. I'm Marcus Leshock, still battling a cold here at WGN TV Studios, and joining me on the phone, the normal hour working Steve Lippo, who doesn't come in to the station at 3 a.m. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, I'm good. Good morning, Marcus. How are you?
Good. It's like good afternoon for me. I'm ready to eat like a steak lunch, and it's your breakfast time.
True. I did just finish breakfast. That is not a lie.
So, yeah, we're going into week three of the season. Week two is now past us, and very exciting in our Fantasy Festivus League. I am now 2-0 in second place overall in the 14-team league. How do you feel about that, Steve?
You know what? I'm happy for you, Marcus. I really am. I root for everyone every week except whoever I'm playing. So I'm proud of you. You have quite an early season run going here.
Were you rooting for me when you posted those nasty pictures on the message board when I was given a D draft rating by Yahoo?
Well, okay. Let's be honest. Last year, me and you had a bit of a rivalry.
Yes, that's true.
I'd say our rivalry is still fairly strong.
Yes. But because you're on the losing end of it, you're now backing off the rivalry, I've been seeing.
Well, I'm not really in a position of strength, am I?
Well, you are 1-1. It's not like you're 0-6 and I'm 6-0. So it is pretty early.
But my one loss is to the guy I'm talking to right now.
It's pretty early to retreat, is my point.
I'm not fully
You're like the Minnesota Vikings fans who are now retreating from the playoffs, because apparently if you go 0-2 to start the NFL season, you might as well pack it in. That's what all the analysts told us this week. If you lose the first two games of the season, your season is over. Bench AP, bench him until next year. I mean, what is the point of even playing football anymore if you lost two games?
Well, if you look statistically, it actually is extremely hard to make the playoffs once you're 0-2. It really is. I think it's 68 or something percent of teams, once they start 0-2, don't even sniff the playoffs. So I know that's still a 30% chance. So it's not, I think 0-3 is a lot more dire. So, all those 0-2 teams need a win, and there's four of them in our Festivus League in the same boat. So, big wins needed this week. I'm going up against one of the 0-2 teams. I always fear that. the Beertown Blackouts, desperate for a win, all their good players, who have not done anything in the first 2 weeks. I'm just waiting for an explosion of offense on me. So we'll see. I'm hoping for another good week. You've got a big matchup it's the matchup of 2-0 teams early. You've got Hook and Ladder, also 2-0.
Yeah.
So it should be a good week in the Festivus League.
It should be a very good week. And once again, my LeSean McCoy is doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited with that pick, and his legs are still intact. He's not on our list of big injuries for the week, so that's good news.
Neither is Arian Foster. So.
No, he's not.
But a couple big names are.
Yeah.
And that is already a reason for concern for a lot of fantasy owners out there. You want to run through some of the injuries?
Oh, my arm! It's broken!
Steven Jackson is on an injury report? Steven Jackson's
what?
Injured? No. There's no way.
Quick. So unbelievably quick.
Yeah, but I remember I had him a couple years ago in the first game of the season. Remember he had like an 80-yard touchdown run and he pulled his quad or something and he was out for like 7 games?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm exaggerating that a little bit, but I remember he had a big play and then he got hurt. or a big game at least, and then he got hurt earlier in the season. This injury with him, this is one of these guys, when he's playing for you, he's usually great, but at least now they're saying he might only be out 2 to 4 weeks. That's early to speculate, but he's definitely laboring. And so the question is, Jaquizz Rodgers, hopefully you have that handcuff, or is that even a handcuff you want? Are you starting him at all?
You know what? I probably would start him if he's going to play. I like him. He's a good running back. In the small time he's gotten, he always seems like he has the potential to put up big games, but you know, he's always stuck behind Michael Turner, and then they went and signed Steven Jackson, which a lot of people were surprised about that they didn't just give him the reins, but you know, he's got 2 to 4 weeks to show what he can do, and if he's good, then you know, maybe he ends up in a timeshare by the time this thing's done. I mean, the door's open.
Right.
So you know, he was drafted in most leagues, the Festivus League included. So
right.
Not really a waiver wire pickup option, but if you have that handcuff, you know, I don't know if you're rooting for him to do well or if you're rooting for Steven Jackson to get back quickly. That's
right.
An odd situation because it very easily could end up in a timeshare, which, as we all know, is just awful for fantasy purposes.
Absolutely. And this week, a couple things concern me. One, the point that you just brought up, Michael Turner, obviously on his way out, and they bring in somebody else. So they weren't quick to promote Rodgers to that title feature back role. They bring in Steven Jackson. And also this week, Atlanta is playing on the road against the mighty Miami Dolphins. The 2-0 Miami Dolphins.
2-0 Miami Dolphins. Can't believe I'm saying that.
I know. That's why I love the NFL, man. You just never know what is going to happen at all. But Dolphins look pretty good. Pretty decent so far. Tannehill actually looks like possibly a fantasy quarterback at some point if he can continue this trend and get better every week.
Well, guys need time to develop. Now, you know, guys don't come into the league as superstar quarterbacks. A few of them do, but not many. I mean, even Peyton Manning struggled in his first year. So he's got potential. I mean, if you're in a keeper league, that's a guy to maybe target for, you know, years down the line as potentially. He's got Mike Wallace now who complained and then had a huge game, so he knows what he's doing. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, Tannehill is a lot better than many of the other options out there, including the Brown situation, which is
right.
Oh, so funny.
Speaking of Jaquizz Rodgers, I had him on my Fantasy Festivus team. I believe I drafted him, and then I had a situation where I had to drop one of these guys for a kicker, and I dropped I had the choice between Rodgers or Joik Bell to drop for a kicker, and I kept Joik Bell, and thankfully I did because Reggie Bush is hurt.
Another shocker.
I know.
That's another big shocker right there.
Although they're saying, the latest report that I read, saying that there is no structural damage in his knee. Will Carroll, the great injury expert on Twitter, he's at Injury Expert. He's very good at this type of thing and breaking down injuries. He says that could be an indication that there could be some cartilage problems in his knee. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're not really mentioning that. So that's something where Bell has really stepped up in the passing game. And when he's had his chances, he's been good. Are you a fan of... First of all, am I saying that right? Joik Bell? Is that how you say it?
It is. Yeah, I believe Joik is right.
Either way, I'm going to say it that way because that's the way I like it.
You know what? I like it too. It's unique, and let's go with it.
Joik?
So, even if that's not his name, I don't care.
They have the powerhouse Washington Redskins this week, and that was a joke. So I love him. I love him in this game, especially if Reggie Bush can't go. Then Joik Bell, that's a must start, I think.
I would agree with you. I think whoever starts at running back in Detroit is a good option. Just with the offense they run, and I know they're going to throw to Megatron, but he's, you know, really the only option they have in Joik Bell's proven himself.
Well, and so, James Starks on the Packers had a 120-plus yard game, you know, against that, the Redskins this week. And, I mean, the Redskins look terrible, especially on defense.
Was,
they look
that
awful.
That was so depressing.
Right.
I have Eddie Lacy in the Festivus League.
Right, and that's the other injury right now, too, to talk about.
But that's your guy get knocked out early in the game and then watch his replacement run for 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, you lost 20 points.
Might be one of the most frustrating things.
You lost 20-point fantasy points right there on that one play. But
now, mind you, I still won, so it wasn't,
right.
You know, not all was lost. But I will say this. On the bright side, Giovanni Bernard, another big running back news this week, had a real big game for the Bengals, a couple touchdowns there. So not really an injury concern, but that that could be a situation to keep an eye on that has developed very quickly.
He's not getting the touches. At this point, though, I would think he'd be getting more touches than he is. I mean, I think he only had about 30-some yards rushing in that game, and he did get two touchdowns.
He only had 9 touches. But that's up from 5 in week 1, right, then to 9, then all of a sudden you're in a timeshare, and then they realize that he's the better back. So, you know, if you have him, I'm excited to see what comes of that. But anyway, back to the injury notes.
Yes.
So Eddie Lacy, we were talking about, got knocked out. Still not sure what his status is for this week. They haven't updated it yet, but that's something to keep an eye on. James Starks was a big pickup this week. Actually, I'm reading a note on Eddie Lacy right now that says it looks like week 5 is the most likely scenario for Eddie Lacy.
How do they know? I mean, like, did somebody go? Did the Packers say that?
No, but the Packers have a week 4 bye this year.
Oh, right.
They're one of the teams with the first bye in week 4. So instead of rushing him back to play against Cincinnati this week, and then, you know, might as well give him 2 weeks to recover. So James Starks at this point is a good play, although Cincinnati's a tough defense.
Yeah, I don't like James Starks at all against Cincinnati. I think a lot of people are looking past that. Redskins are terrible, and Cincinnati's defense is a lot.
I definitely take Joik Bell over James Starks this week. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. I'd start Joik Bell over Arian Foster this week. How's that sound? How's that make you feel?
Hey, you know what? I am going to point out that running backs right now, if you search all players in Yahoo Fantasy and search running backs, the top point getting running back right now through 2 weeks is LeSean McCoy. So it's more than Adrian Peterson, more than Marshawn Lynch,
right,
more than Jamaal Charles, even more than Matt Forte. Now, mind you, this is not PPR. I think PPR would change things a little bit.
Yeah, I think that definitely would. I think Matt Forte might be number one in PPR.
Matt Forte might be number one PPR just because of the receptions.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not really sure. Anyway, I could probably find that because I am in a PPR
right
league. But anyway, I will say that Arian Foster is still sitting in the top 10.
Okay.
So even after
not number two,
one,
where you ranked him.
Well, Adrian Peterson is number 2.
Great.
That's fine.
Okay.
Although 2 spots ahead of Arian Foster right now, Joik Bell.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So,
Joik Bell. Believe in the Joik. It is the Joik. I might get a Joik tattoo. I might rename my son Joik if by the end of this. Who knows? Just who knows? I never thought of it, but like, honey, I've got the name.
I'm not gonna lie. There might be a little too much Joik love going on in this podcast.
Absolutely,
right now.
There is. Especially by when we look back at week 8, be like, remember Joik Bell we were talking about?
Remember that Joik Bell guy?
Yeah, he applied here for an internship.
Reminds me of the guy from the wide receiver from the Cowboys last year that everyone jumped on after
Ogletree,
the
right?
Of the season.
Wasn't it Ogletree?
Kevin Ogletree.
Yeah.
And no one heard from him again the rest of the season.
I know.
But we'll see. It's all in time. But I do agree that Joik Bell, if Reggie Bush can't go, is a very good play this week.
Are you worried about Ray Rice at all? Hip flexor, saying it might not be serious, but
well,
a running back's got a bad
Ray
hip.
Rice. I'm worried about Ray Rice for a couple reasons. First reason is the injury. Which, you know, anytime you hear a hip with a running back, I mean, they've got to cut and plant and move. And, you know, that's guy trying to run with a bad hip. That doesn't sound like it'd be a good time. And number 2, that offense is terrible.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I know he is the offense, but defenses are keen on Ray Rice so hard right now. You know, Flacco's got to do something. And they've got, you know, without Bolden, they have no wide receivers.
Their tight ends hurt. I mean, like, they were really depleted.
It has been really bad. So I'm worried about Ray Rice for a number of reasons. This may be the season that Ray Rice, you know, kind of comes back to normal in terms of
right.
I don't know. I don't even know how to say it. But, you know, maybe doesn't end the year as a top 10 guy. And he's been such a consistent top 10 guy.
I think that's easily possible. I mean, I think that's very possible. Especially if he's got a hip problem now. I mean, and if their season gets too, did they win this week? Who did they play? I don't remember. I don't have the schedule from this week. I don't remember if they won this week. But if they really go down the wrong path,
Oh, the Ravens?
Yeah.
Gosh, what did they do this week? I don't even know. That's terrible.
That's a thing. I know. I can't remember either. It's like there are certain teams that are so far off my radar right now. The Ravens are one. The Steelers.
Well, they got destroyed by the Broncos in week one.
I know.
And, you know, then you're like, wow, the Ravens are bad. And you know what? They did win this week. I'm looking at it
they
right
did.
Now.
Who did they play?
They did. They just beat the mighty Cleveland Browns.
Oh, the Browns. Okay, I do remember that. Okay,
that is why that game could not pop into my memory, because I avoided it at all costs because I knew it would be terrible.
Did you see the hilarious crawl during the Jaguars game in Orlando on the TV station there?
Which one? When all the names changed?
No, that was funny. A TV station in Orlando. The Jacksonville Jaguars played at the same time that the Manning Bowl was going on, Eli versus Peyton in New York.
Okay.
And the Orlando station had to air the Jaguars game. And so many people were upset, they put a crawl at the bottom of the screen saying the NFL is forcing us to show you the Jacksonville Jaguars instead of the Denver Broncos game. And I think it ran for like the entire game or a lot of it. It was, I think it was up on Deadspin, a clip of it. And that's their like home team. And so they had to apologize for showing the home team's game on their television station. It's really funny and so, so sad as those 12 people who are hanging out outside the stadium.
At the Tebow rally?
Yeah. I mean, we had it on our air and we were kind of poking fun at it, but 12 people showed up for Tim Tebow and then he got all this coverage. But, yeah, anyway, good times going on down there in Florida. Great, great football down there. Everyone's a Dolphins fan.
Well, now we got the Browns who have already gone. They're going to start their third-string quarterback this week at Minnesota.
Oh, gosh.
That's got bad news written all over it. There are some teams in a real bad way real early.
We complain about the Bears sometimes, but you just got to remember we're not in Cleveland. You know, that's horrible. I mean, just every year in, year out, it never gets any better. Anyway.
Yeah.
So let's move on. Let's not talk about that. Other injuries, people you want to watch out for. Larry Fitzgerald apparently is laboring. Andre Johnson has a concussion. Malcolm Floyd went out with a horrible neck injury. And if you're an owner
that's going to be a while.
Yeah, and if you're an owner of Eddie Royal, congratulations, because I don't know what's up with him. I mean, that guy's come out of, I don't know where he's been, but 5 touchdowns, I believe, in the first 2 weeks. Phillip Rivers looks like the old Phillip Rivers. And
Eddie Royal had never had a multi-touchdown game in his career. He's got 5 touchdowns in 2 games.
It's
so
unbelievable. He could finish a year with seven touchdowns total still.
Yeah, I would temper expectations on him, especially with Malcolm Floyd out. Now, Eddie Royal's still going to play in the slot, and Rivers apparently likes throwing to him. So, I mean, if you picked him up, maybe ride him until things go bad. But I don't see that continuing all season.
No, and especially now that teams are going to pay more attention to him and have to game plan for him. I mean, this week they're at Tennessee,
he's got 5 touchdowns on. You know, we were just talking about Giovanni Bernard, who had 2 touchdowns and only 9 touches. Eddie Royal's kind of the same thing. He has 5 touchdowns, but he only, I think, has 14 targets all season in both, you know. So take 5 touchdowns on 14 targets. That's an unbelievable percentage that will never continue.
No.
You know, he's more of their slot guy, their number 3, number 4 guy. Who's just managed to be open at the right time, you know, that those numbers will turn around.
So are you a believer in this Phillip Rivers turnaround? Only 2 games in, are you?
No,
at all.
No. Let's be honest. It's Phillip Rivers.
God, if you're in a deep league, I mean, he's probably owned in most leagues, I would guess, as a backup. But
he's owned as a backup in most leagues, yes.
I'm trying to do an either-or here.
Well, you know, last week we told everyone to temper expectations on Tom Brady, and that actually was true. He did not have a very good week. So, you know, if you've got another tough quarterback matchup, if your quarterback's playing the Seattle Seahawks defense per se, you know, maybe now's the time to maybe the time is to go to a backup. But I don't know. I'm still tempering expectations there.
EJ Manuel or Phillip Rivers?
Well, I mean, you're not going to draft EJ Manuel as your starter. So,
well, you're in a deep league. You're in a 16-team league or something.
Well, then you probably drafted Phillip Rivers as your starter and EJ Manuel as your backup. So, you've been starting Phillip Rivers in that case.
That's true.
I can't
come up with anything good. Terrell Pryor, Phillip Rivers.
here's an interesting question, and this, a lot of I'm looking at top quarterbacks so far through 2 weeks. Obviously, Manning's number one, Rodgers number two, so those aren't a surprise. Number three, Philip Rivers. Number four, Michael Vick. Number five, Sam Bradford. How about that one?
Sam Bradford, really?
Sam Bradford.
Wow.
Number five. I know. So, that's a surprise. People probably have not been starting him. But, again, it's a combination of who they've been playing and teams that have been down that have needed to throw a lot. That's where quarterbacks get a lot of points. For instance, I have RG3 in the Festivus League.
Yeah.
And he's been awful in the first half of both games he's played. And he's still, right now, the number eight fantasy quarterback in points, just because he's had to throw so much in the second half and all those garbage points has, proven worthy. So, a guy like Matt Ryan, who a lot of people took really high, and they've been, winning, or Kaepernick, since he had a terrible game last week, or Stafford, even Drew Brees, these guys are all below RG3, all below Bradford at this point. Now, will that continue? Probably not. But, there's some interesting names up there right now.
For sure. How about Russell Wilson in Seattle? Now that we're talking quarterbacks, a lot of people drafted him thinking they were going to get more of those, running quarterbacks, going to get some yards on the ground, some yards in the air, a bunch of touchdowns. First 2 weeks, he's been pretty disappointing. I have him in one league, and he has not done well.
Been.
He's had some tough matchups, though. I mean, in San Francisco this week, in week one, they were on the road at Carolina, who doesn't give up huge numbers.
You could argue that San Francisco, Seattle, and Carolina are three of probably the top five defenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
So if you've had a really disappointing start with Russell Wilson, I'd stick with him. I mean, you have to. He's a gamer. He's going to put up the stats eventually. I mean, when you go up against two of the best defenses in the NFL back-to-back, in week one, even against Carolina, he threw for over 300 yards and had a touchdown. Now, problem was
right.
is he lost a fumble, only had one touchdown, and didn't really run, only had 7 yards rushing.
Right.
Last year against San Francisco, they went up and just ran the ball. So, people are trying to take away that read option, but look at his next games coming up. Jacksonville this week, that's going to be good.
Yeah, it should be
Houston,
telling right there how he performs.
At Houston in week four could be a little rough, but then Indy, Tennessee could be rough, but then Arizona, St. Louis, Tampa, Atlanta, Minnesota, New Orleans, all those games are good.
Yeah.
Could be a matchup, guys. If you have one of those quarterbacks who's been really good early, say you have, a Rivers, not this week, but, maybe Rivers in week four, depending on who's playing, if the Chargers are still putting up a ton of points, maybe that's a decision you make, but, stick with Russell Wilson. You drafted him high. Again, I'm always a fan of not benching your top drafted players early, and you just got to ride them because you drafted them high.
Speaking of the 49ers, we do ask for your questions at fantasyfestivus@gmail.com, fantasyfestivus@gmail.com. And somebody wanted to know about Frank Gore, about trading Frank Gore. I believe the question was, should I trade Frank Gore for a mediocre running back and wide receiver? So turning Frank Gore into two other players, I guess just what are your thoughts on Frank Gore, and two, about trading guys for quote unquote mediocre people?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand people hitting the panic button there. He's had a rough first couple of weeks,
yeah.
Especially last week against Seattle. I mean, the Seattle defense just held San Francisco to nothing. That was an impressive, impressive game in Seattle, but, if you're looking to trade Frank Gore right now, I feel like it's selling low. I don't know. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. I don't like trading guys when they're at their low points, like dumping a stock when it's so low. Just because his upside is, I was never really high on Frank Gore because I do think it's the Kaepernick show there now, but he could end up getting you some touchdowns. I would wait and hold on Frank Gore if you really want to dump him. Wait until he has either one big game or two solid games back-to-back, and then see what you can get, because as the question pointed out, you're not going to get much for him right now. I mean, unless you're so desperate at wide receiver and you're a little bit deeper at running back, like if you have a decent running back on your bench who you can fill in for Gore and you really need a wide receiver, then maybe it is a time to trade for somebody now. But, I mean, it never hurts to look and put somebody up on a trading block, but I just wouldn't – I don't like the whole, well, I just – he's not doing well, so I'm going to trade him for anybody. I think that's silly in my point.
You know, he's still their number one back.
Right.
You know, he's not in a timeshare yet. You know, he could be maybe later on down the road if things still go bad. But at this point, you know, I just chalk it up to a bad couple of weeks. And, you know, hope things turn around. He's got Indianapolis this week, St. Louis the week after. So, you know, hopefully you'll see some production there. I definitely wouldn't trade him for a couple of mediocre guys at this point.
Right. You want to talk Bears?
Sure, let's do it.
My heart hurts still.
Oh, never in doubt, Marcus. Come on.
Really? Were you not in doubt?
No, we were in great doubt.
I told you when we made our predictions last week, I told you I wanted to make it really close. I wanted to make it like 31-30 or something like that because I just felt like those division games are always closer than they need to be. And that was a perfect example of a game where the Bears really should have won that game a lot easier than they did, but dumb mistakes let the Vikings back into the game. And, man, that fourth quarter, that drive, Mr. Fourth Quarter, Jay Cutler, just, man, he's one of those guys where you just, you're so off the bandwagon, and then he does something to bring you back in, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it's, you know, it's an interesting scenario with Cutler because, you know, his fumble that was returned for a touchdown, and he threw a pick, and, you know, he kind of gets him, you know, he takes him out of the game. The offense had four turnovers, and they're killing him, and then he's the one who brings him back. So he's a hero in the end, which is great for him, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, you definitely get a little bit of a heart attack as that game goes along. But that fourth quarter drive was definitely impressive. Martellus Bennett is proving to be quite a fantasy tight end at this point, than I expected. To be perfectly honest, I thought they'd keep him in the block a lot more than they do. I wasn't sure how much Cutler would target him. But Bears win, 31-30. You had the closer final score. I think we both predicted a Bears win.
Yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah, but you had the closer final score, so I got to give that one to you.
Yeah, it was quite a game to watch. Infuriating, exciting, happy, just destroyed. I don't know. Going forward, just looking at the fantasy, I mean, Martellus Bennett, I think was a big pickup in a lot of leagues this week, most likely because, like you said, 2 weeks in those touchdowns, you really can't beat it, especially if he keeps getting looks on the goal line like he did that fourth quarter. I can't believe how easy that was for them to score on that play. But
that was a blown coverage by the Vikings. The corner decided to seal inside. He moved in instead of holding the corner at the end. It was a defensive breakdown. It really was. But still, he got open and caught. I mean, made a great back shoulder catch, and, you know, Bears win. So, can't argue with that.
Matt Forte, once again, with a fantastic game. What did he have, 11 catches, I believe, in the game? Do you have that number
in front of you?
Insane. Yeah.
For PPR leagues, Matt Forte is proving to be quite the running back.
And we talked about this early in our podcast, you know, we're ranking running backs, that if you had a PPR league, Forte was a guy who could be top five. He could end up as the top running back of the season if he stays healthy, just because he's going to get a lot of those checkdowns, but he's getting passes up the sideline. It's funny. Like, I'll just see the ball fired down the field and Matt Forte is 20 yards down the field. It's so refreshing to see in a Bears offense. It's somewhat alarming and strange because you wonder if you've been sucked to another planet when you see plays like this. Like when the Bears did that reverse with Alshon Jeffrey and it worked. I mean, the first time and it worked, it didn't go for a 9-yard loss like every end around the Bears have ever tried to do usually does. I was like, what is happening? How is this working right now?
It was pretty amazing. You know, I Forte definitely was not the primary receiver on all his catches. But, you know, if Cutler can't see anyone open downfield, I mean, he's the safety blanket now. So,
sure.
you know, I'm looking at the stats right now. Matt Forte and I, the Fantasy Festivus League is not a PPR league, but the other league I'm in is. And just looking at the point totals in that league right now, Matt Forte is the number two fantasy running back so far.
Who's number one?
Guess who, Marcus?
Mr. McCoy.
Yeah, he is still. But
yeah. I was gonna whoop whoop, but my voice is gone, so I can't. Yeah,
whoop whoop and a cough cough.
I know.
I'm sorry you're not doing so hot over there.
But, I know. Totally infecting this room.
But Forte, you know, McCoy's got 100 yards more rushing than Forte, but Forte's got 9 more catches. So if you know, there it evens out right there. So,
sure. I mean, you're in great shape if you got either one of those guys right now. And I believe Forte caught every single one of his targets this week, so that's only gonna give Cutler more confidence in him. So I just don't see this week. The Bears are at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are terrible. Another just awful team that the Bears should beat easily.
I will say this about the Steelers: their defense is much better than their offense. So you know, Bears on the road, tough defense in prime time. Do I still think they're gonna win? Yes. And we'll get to predictions, but it may not be an offensive explosion. You know, they may just get in there, get a win, and get out. We'll see.
So how are you feeling about Cutler? I played a guy in another league who had Cutler, and I believe he had about like 16 to 18 points this week. It's a pretty good week. Without
Cutler's
the turnovers, you know, he could have had 20 fantasy points. So it's easy to say without the turnovers when it comes to Cutler, but... If Trestman can work with him somehow and, you know, cut out those mistakes, I think he could end up close to a top 10 quarterback maybe, or close to it if he gets it together.
I'm not willing to go top 10 yet.
I mean, between like 10 and 13, like right around, hovering around that range.
Yeah, I'll say this. Last year, Jay Cutler was not even on fantasy rosters.
Right.
He was toxic. I mean, people didn't even own him. This year, he's a legit, viable backup. So that's a step up in the fantasy realm. Now, the thing about Cutler is that, you know, you see all these quarterbacks now. I mean, look how many 400-yard games there have been.
Right, it's insane.
You know, 400-yard passing games and multi-touchdown games. You know, you've got Aaron Rodgers, I believe close to – he's got – you know, I'm looking right now. I'm actually looking. Hold on. I'm sorting. I'm cheating. I'm looking at stats. You've got two quarterbacks over 800 yards through 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
You've got another one that's at 769. So, I mean, you've got Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, of all people, although Eli Manning's thrown 7 interceptions, which is bad. And Peyton Manning, all basically throwing for these monster yards. You know, in terms of the yards, Cutler's definitely not there. But Cutler is right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He's the 13th, point-wise, 13th ranked quarterback.
Right.
In the league.
And that's so, with all the turnovers. No. That's what I'm saying. If he was able to cut out those mistakes, I think he'd be even a little bit higher on the list.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, again, I mean, you have to temper expectations because he does turn the ball over. And they don't throw for tons of yards like other quarterbacks do. You know, he's got 530 through 2 weeks. So it's not bad. It's like, what, 265 a game? It's not bad.
Right.
But when you have all these other quarterbacks going for monster yards every week, you know, would I start him over those guys? Probably not. But
right.
Does he deserve a spot on a roster? Yeah, he does.
All right, so looking ahead, looking at Pittsburgh this week, it's the dreaded Sunday night game for Cutler. I feel Sunday night is when he stinks. Monday night is when he's good, right? Or is it the other way around?
Correct. No, I think that's right.
Okay, because Thursday he's the worst. Thursday is like minimum 4 picks. I feel every Thursday game he's been awful.
I believe the Cutler, the game that always sticks out in my mind was Cutler in San Francisco.
The 5 interception game. That was 5.
Yes. And I think that was a Sunday nighter.
I think they were still in a position to win that game when he threw his 5th pick. I think it was in the end zone, wasn't it?
Yes, he threw the pick in the end zone directly to a 49ers linebacker with no Bears receiver around him.
Oh gosh, that's horrible.
Yes. No. Now, let's hope that times are changing.
Yes, the whisperer
and that
will whisper
to him.
And
this can be a nice turnaround game for Cutler, and the Bears get out of there with a W.
Jay, just don't throw the interception, Jay. That's what we need to do. These guys know what they're doing. They know what they're doing out there. Anyway.
It's a process, Marcus. It's a process.
It's a process. We're early. We've got to fix a lot of things. That's what we've... So, Steve, what do you think going forward? The prediction for Pittsburgh? What do you think? You think who?
I don't know if I can make a straight face.
What do you think about the game? What do you think?
I am going to predict that the Bears win, and I think they win ugly. I think they're going to win. I'm going to win 17-10.
31-14 Bears.
Whoa!
Yeah,
that's a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, what did Cincy put up? 28.
29?
Was it like 29-6 or something?
Something
like that.
I'm thinking
about a different game. Maybe I'm thinking of the Seattle game against the 49ers. My nights are gone now. So anyway.
I was going to say, do you even watch football at night anymore?
No, probably I don't. I don't even watch football, as a matter of fact. I've never watched a game of football. I just do this podcast. No, but yeah, I just think Pittsburgh's awful, and I think they're down in the dumps. And it's a kind of a must-win game for them, so I'm a little hesitant predicting such a blowout, but I just... That offensive line, I think this is the game the Bears' D-line gets back into it, gets back on their right side. There's a lot of pressure on them. Peppers supposedly had the flu last week, so he's going to be healthy again and over it. And I think he's got a lot to prove. And I don't see the Steelers doing all that much on offense. And I think their defense will just be deflated by the end. And Mr. Fourth Quarter will put up 17 points in the fourth quarter to make it a rout.
For the record, Pittsburgh lost 20-10 last week.
Oh, okay.
Just 20 points.
Not 29. Not so, 29-6, like I said.
No, 20-10. So my prediction of 17-10 is not that far off, but I think it'll be a similar game. So I'm sticking by my low-scoring, close-game prediction.
All right, very good. Anything else going forward? Are you excited about your matchup this week in the Festivus League? Are you going to win? What's your prediction there?
Oh, geez. I don't know. You know what? I'm going to say I'm going to win. I got to be confident. I can't predict a loss for myself. But, yeah, I think I'm going to win. Although I do not like – you ever look at the team you're playing and then you're like, oh, they're 0-2. They're in last place.
Yep.
And you realize their matchups.
Yeah.
Everyone they have is playing a terrible defense.
And you look up their points for and you're like, oh, wow, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah. I'm going to predict a win, but I'm worried. That's what I'm going to go with.
All right, I, as usual, am going to predict a win because my team should win because I have the best running back in all of football on my team, LeSean McCoy, who is the best pick I could have made in the position I was in. Everybody passed him up very stupidly, if that's a word. Stupidly.
Stupidly? I think that's a word.
Yeah, that's very stupid. All right, so I'm going to get over this cold, and we're going to be stronger and more exciting than ever next week after a 3-0 Bears team comes back to Chicago.
Yeah, I will leave everyone with this last thought. We're both predicting a Festivus win. We are both projected to lose. So let's hope.
What do they know? They gave me a D in my draft, and I'm 2-0, morons.
Do you feel better that you're projected to lose this week?
Yes, I do, because I'm the underdog. Now the underdog, now I'm fighting for my life as the underdog this week.
All right. Well, let's hope for wins this weekend, and we'll see you next week on the
All right. Talk to you then.